I think you would agree with me that in our world today, we have a problem with defining what does it mean to be loving. When I think of all the definitions and all the answers that I see in the media, in literature, in publications, I think of words like love is promiscuous, love is fickle, love is, you know, permissive, allowing anything to go. In our world, that seems to be the way love is. Love is you accept me as I demand to be accepted, and then I will think you love me. But I would like to read you a letter. This is an actual historical document. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another, and they don't hesitate to honor widows, and they rescue the orphans who are being abused. The one who has gives to one who lacks without bragging about it. And when they meet a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as if he were a brother. And if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food themselves, they will fast for 2 or 3 days just so they can have something to share with the one lacking food. They observe the teachings of their Messiah with much care, living justly and soberly as the Lord their God has commanded them. This letter was written in the year AD 133. This is how Greeks and others defined what Christians were doing. This is how unbelievers noticed the difference of what love is and what love isn't. It wasn't the people that came up with this idea about what love is and what love isn't. It's God himself. And tonight's three words of truth, love one another. And the question, like Luther would ask, and what does this mean, right? It would ask always in the catechism. And the answer is first, love is taught and shown and revealed by God himself in Christ, in all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God knew Adam and Eve would sin. And that always perplexes us. Well, why would he make them if he knew they would fail? And God knew Cain would kill Abel. Why would he make them if he knew there would be murder? Well, you don't have to go back that far. Think about you. Well, think about me. You know some of my stories. If you knew that you were going to have a son named Carl who did all the things that you've heard about and some of the things I haven't told you, okay, would you say, yes, I'll sign up for having that child to raise him? Or would we rather be like what's happening today with genetic selectivity and DNA construction and the like? We find it easy to love what is right, what is perfect, what is good, what is agreeable. But God himself defines about love. It's loving the unlovable, loving those in the mess. Not because they are messy, but simply because God chooses to love. You've heard before about, you know, taking the letters from the word grace and making each one a word, and it's God's riches at Christ's expense, and it's poured out to us. And so in the Old Testament, you can read about God's love. It's historical. It's accurate. It's God in action. God loving Abraham when he lied about his relationship with Sarah because he was afraid. About God loving Moses, even after Moses struck the rock and he was told just to command the rock and water would come forth. I mean, how many of you would like to have God's instructions? Would you command that rock and water will come forth? And wouldn't we just be excited about following his instructions to the letter? And Moses struck the rock. And yet God still loved him. And David, what a mess. Loving another man's wife, coveting for her, arranging his death, and on it goes. And yet God loved him. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets, the preachers that whined. These people aren't listening to our special act, you know. Last Sunday, four of you went to sleep. And someone says, just four? You know, the fact that God loves us before the foundations of the world were laid, says the Bible, it makes it very clear about God's kind of love, unconditional love, that God would send his own son. And he kept his word. Not only that, is that God, our God, truthful and honest, but God is loving that he fulfills his promises just as he said he would. And so Jesus came down from heaven. And I see that as an act of love. You know, it's imagine the most perfect place you've ever seen or heard of, and then you're there and you live there, and then you decide to leave and go to the inner city in Detroit, or the inner city in L.A., you know, or pick any place of desolation and isolation. That means no cell phone signal, you know, any place else. And you willingly go there, and you're not wanted there, but you stay there, and you heal the people who are obnoxious, and you take care of and you feed the argumentative. This is what Jesus does, doesn't he? He comes into our world, into our mess, not to spank us and not to kick us and not to punch us in the mouth for all the words we use that are offensive to him, but he comes to give himself, to stretch out his arms on Calvary, allowing himself to be nailed when he had the power to stop it from piercing his very body. He had that power. He still has that power. I mean, if you knew someone was going to stab you with a sword and you had the power to prevent it, like a superhero in maybe one of the TVs or programs, movies or comic books, you know, so tighten up your abs and, you know, the sword goes no further, even not in through your garment. Wouldn't you do that when the sword was coming? And Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. And sheep smell. And sheep are obnoxious. You can't teach sheep. Yuck. And there he gives himself. Isn't that love? Love one another. It's taught to us and it's empowered to us by God himself. For the work of the Holy Spirit makes Christ alive in our hearts. For the work of the Holy Spirit brings that word, a living word of God, and its truth, and its purity, and its power, and its life-changing, person-changing, body and soul-changing. He brings that into us, into our heart. It is the word of God that picks us up out of despair and gives us hope. It is the word of God that gives us clarity when we're confused. It is the word of God that gives us direction when we are lost. It is God's love in action. And Jesus came so that we may know and see the word made flesh and it dwelt among us. And then he says, love one another as I have loved you. And he showed us what that meant. He showed us how. And then he gave us the power to do it. Lent is recognizing that we are the Cains that hurt the Abels. We are the Davids that want what we shouldn't have had in the first place. We are the Abrahams that become afraid and lie about our relationships. We are the prophets of the Old Testament who are afraid to speak God's truth because we know the people around us at that moment, they don't want to hear it. In fact, they adamantly disagree. We are the people, the sheep that are stubborn and at times unteachable. And yet Jesus loved us. And when he makes us alive in him, he changes us so that we become God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And he changes our heart and he changes our mind so that we too now become loving. The only problem is we just don't do it perfectly. But our joy is that he did. As he died for us in our place, that is the perfect gift of love. Perfect love itself. Jesus says, love one another. What does that mean? As I have loved you. Jesus says, in that love, he forgives. And so, out of love, not because people are worthy of it, we forgive. Jesus cared. That's what we do. It's not that people are worthy of our care, deserve our care. We care because we choose to care. As God chose to love, so we too, alive in Christ, we do these things. And Lent is a confession. We fail, we fall short of the glory of God, but at the same time, we have his love so that we can do some things for his sake, for his kingdom, for his glory, for his people, for those whom he died. Love one another. It doesn't mean permissive. Anything goes. It doesn't mean it's negotiated. I love you if you love me. It's nothing like that. It's simply because as God loves and had the power to love and is love itself, so he has made us alive in Christ with his power of love to show it to others. These three words of truth is what brings us together again and again on Sunday. It makes us ask other three words, how are you? It makes us smile when we see each other because we get to care. And sometimes I'm in need of care, and sometimes I have the ability and the moment and the strength and the passion to care. We all need that. And it comes from this. These words of truth, the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.